I'm DeCarlin Seawood, City Manager for the City of Columbia. Thank you for joining me today for the State of the City, where I'll highlight some of our success for the past year and plans for the future. I will also outline some of the challenges we're currently facing. My hope is when you leave here today, you'll have a clear vision of where the city will move in the next year and what we aim to accomplish. This is my first State of the City as City Manager, but mine may not be the only new face in the room. We're beginning a new period here at the City of Columbia. We have a new mayor, new council member, and even some new staff members. And soon we'll have several other new faces in leadership positions. We're currently in the process of interviewing candidates for Human Resource Director. We've opened applications for a new fire chief, and soon we'll open applications for an Information Technology Director and Public Works Director. I know this is a lot of change in an organization, which understandably can be scary to some, but I see this as an opportunity for us to bring in new ideas and new experiences. This will push us to be better. As we welcome these new faces, I challenge our staff to be open to new ideas and look at new ways of doing things rather than relying on the way we've always done them. This outlook is especially important as we address some of the most pertinent issues our community is facing. I know the work we put out is only as good as the staff we have. So before I begin, I want to thank our amazing employees, some of who have joined us here today. Our assistant city manager has joked about the fact that city government is not a glamorous job, and I agree. And oftentimes, it's a thankless job. But I know that our employees do not do this work for thanks. They do it because they love it, because they want to make this community better. Our employees understand that we're about service. Each of us come to work every day because we have values in having neighborhoods with ample green space, safe drinking water, access to immunization, and a thriving business community. While we do many things well in municipal government, sometimes we can be slow to adapt. And when it comes to compensating our workforce, this remains to be true. The city is behind on providing adequate pay for employees, our most valuable asset. And we see those effect with issues with hiring new staff and retaining continued staff. I know income is an integral part of creating an environment where employees and in turn their work can thrive, which is why I have identified this as a priority for the upcoming fiscal year. We're currently in the middle of a comprehensive classification compensation study that will look at pay and benefits for our workforce compared to the labor market, something that we have not done since 2013. We're at a critical point at the city. If we do not address the challenges we're facing with staffing now, we will start to see negative impacts to our services and will feel those consequences years down the road. Currently, we have vacancies in almost every department, and more than 380 city employees will be eligible for retirement in the next 5 years. Because we have such a critical point with staffing, we're taking steps now while we wait for the results of the study. A mid-year pay adjustment of 3% have been already approved this fiscal year. I will also recommend this in this upcoming budget, an additional pay increase of 4%. Overall, this will equal 7% across the board increases for all permanent employees for the next two fiscal years. We have also implemented a one-time retention payment for employees who continue to provide critical city services during the pandemic. Additionally, leadership is looking at new and creative ways to recruit employees to join our team and to engage and retain a happy, healthy workforce. We want the City of Columbia to be an employer of choice. Despite being understaffed, our employees are still accomplishing many great things. Last year, around this time, former City Manager John Glasscock stood before you and spoke about the adjustment city staffs were making as a result of COVID-19 in order to maintain continuous operations. Even though all of us have come to live with this virus in some form, our staff has continued to adjust to changing circumstances. Through their resiliency and flexibility, we've seen incredible success in fighting the pandemic. In Boone County, more than 62% of all residents have been fully vaccinated, compared to around 40% this time last year. Our decision to follow the science surrounding the pandemic, educate the community about the importance of vaccinations, and make them easily accessible has helped us get to this point where each one of us can be here in person today. Tables at our restaurants are full again. Employees have returned to their offices. I know the pandemic is not over, but residents and business owners are now equipped to make decisions about their own health. We've seen our tourism and hospitality industries that were so strongly impacted by the pandemic begin to bounce back. Festivals like Roots and Blues, True Falls Film Festival, and Unbound Book Festival have returned to Columbia this year. Ardner Park will return to Columbia this weekend for the first time since 2019. We've seen conventions, meetings return to our cities, meaning more people in our hotels and frequenting local businesses. In fiscal year 2021, occupancy rates in our Columbia hotels climbed to 52%, just above 44% from fiscal year 2020. Notably, the number of permits for special events jumped to 51 in fiscal year 2021, compared to just 15 in fiscal year 2020. This year, we will continue to welcome sports teams, conferences, and business travelers to our city. This summer, children are able to participate in summer camps, park recreation programs, and enjoy their favorite summertime sports. We're also looking forward to celebrating with each other and events like Fire in the Sky once again. While we continue to push forward, we still have work to do in our recovery process. The pandemic highlighted disparities within our community and has exacerbated issues like homelessness. It is now our responsibility as a community to address these issues. We have a especially unique opportunity to do that using the American Rescue Plan Act funding. Many of you remember the city has received $25 million to assist individuals and industries impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic. We have an opportunity to invest in projects that will have a transformational impact and benefits for our community. Public Health and Human Services recently began a robust community engagement process for the American Rescue Plan Act. They will allow our residents to be engaged in the process and determine how the money will be spent in its community. The City Council has identified four priority areas for the first half of the funding: community violence, homelessness, workforce development, and behavioral health. Staff are putting together requests for proposals to find organizations that can build programs for each area in our community. The Columbia Housing Authority and other partners working with our unsheltered neighbors are currently putting together plans for addressing homelessness in our community. Having these community partners who are already working to help our unsheltered population at the same table will allow each one of them to bring their expertise and innovative ideas. While the American Rescue Plan Act funding will help those impacted by the pandemic, our regular budget is still in some ways feeling the impacts. We're facing supply shortages as well as inflation. Although we've seen an increase in sales tax, some items are now costing double or triple what they once cost. Our utilities and public works departments are now having to wait weeks or sometimes months for materials, causing them to have to press pause on some projects. In July, I will propose a budget to the City Council that will allow us to prepare for the change to the best of our ability. However, I expect us to see some projects slowed as a result of the issues for months to come. This budget will also be critical in funding key projects and programs. Priorities for the upcoming budget include our own employees, social services, public transportation, and public safety. In April, voters approved the use tax. This 2% tax on out-of-state purchases will help fund essential city services moving forward, such as public safety, health, infrastructure, and more. It is anticipated that the city will collect around $5.6 million annually, which could fund up to 8 police officers, 7 firefighters, and sidewalk and street maintenance and repairs. As we look at this future budget, it is important that we look at how it has impacted goals set forth by various city reports and plans. This year, our finance department has worked to align the budget with the strategic plan, helping us be more accountable in fulfilling our goals. The city strategic plan created by staff with public input outlined goals and actions items for each strategic priority area. This plan serves as a guide or a document on why we do what we do, as well as how do we get there. Although it was only adopted by the City Council last year, staff has already began working to lay the groundwork for this plan to succeed. This plan, along with others like the Climate Action Adaptation Plan, will be top of mind as we move into the next fiscal year. As I outline the priorities for the next fiscal year, I want to highlight some of the work the staff has done on this plan. The first objective of area for our strategic plan is organizational excellence. Employees who have volunteered to help carry out this goal in this portion of the plan are exploring new ways to get frontline employees engaged in the city, processes, and to increase employee satisfaction. I've vowed since I started my role as city manager to work on improving engagement both internally and externally. As COVID restrictions have been lifted, I've been meeting with city employees at different departments, and it's important for me for employees to have an opportunity to ask questions to city leadership and have open and honest dialogues. I also believe as a city, we should be looking for new and more convenient ways to hear from our residents. This is why this year we launched a new website, Be Heard Como. This site allows us to have a central location for project details where residents can provide feedback and engage with staff from the comfort of their own homes or anywhere if they have access to the internet. While Be Heard Como is not meant to replace in-person discussions, it does allow the public to be involved in our process, even if they can't make it to a weeknight meeting. The second priority area in the strategic plan is one that residents have repeatedly identified as a priority for themselves, safe neighborhoods. Under this priority area, the Columbia Police Department, the Columbia Fire Department, and Public Health and Human Services are all working together to improve trust within the community, as well as servicing the city's most vulnerable populations. American Rescue Plan Act funding will allow us to invest in programs to combat serious issues our community is facing, such as gun violence and mental health. We know that marrying the experience of the police department, the health department, and community partners will help create best outcomes to combat and prevent violence. Our public safety departments are also working to keep up with a growing city. The Columbia Fire Department is expanding to keep response times low. We're currently in the process of building two new fire stations, one on the southwest and one on the east side of town. Our police department has also expanded. Last year, we celebrated the opening of the Molly Bowden Neighborhood Policing Center in the North Columbia. Today, around half our officers are working out of that precinct every day, helping them remain in the neighborhood they serve. This style of community policing helps officers build important relationships with their residents. While these expansions are necessary, our public safety department have also been significantly impacted by staffing shortages. These departments are exploring new ways to recruit diverse and skilled employees. Staff of the Columbia Police Department met with Missouri Governor Mike Parsons last month to discuss adding a curriculum to the Columbia Public Schools that will allow students to graduate with pertinent experience to work in law enforcement. Of course, no city can have successful programs or initiatives without reliable infrastructure. This is the third priority area in our strategic plan. Staff focusing on this portion of the plan are looking to conduct citizen satisfaction surveys to determine where citizens would like to see improvements in our city. This group is also exploring how our infrastructure goals can have a positive impact on effective climate change. The city continues to improve infrastructure, build new and better, and become more efficient. A new terminal at the Columbia Regional Airport, for example, will open late this summer. This new terminal will include several passenger boarding bridges, a restaurant, a mother's room, a sensory room, and an interior service animal relief area. The expansion will allow us to bring new flights, new events, and new people to Columbia. A large part of any infrastructure maintenance plan is upkeep, and our city facilities is no different. Columbia Water and Light is currently moving forward with a project to improve the McBain Water Treatment Plant. This project will meet water quality goals, extend the life of the facility, and restore the plant's capacity to treat 32 million gallons of water per day. Public Works also has plans to help make operations more efficient. The department has budgeted to build a brand new salt dome on the south side of town. This will make our response to winter weather events more efficient by preventing plow drivers from having to drive to different sides of the town to refill trucks. Public Works is also getting ready to begin the process on a final large project in the city 10-year capital improvement project plan that was approved by voters in 2015. Work to make improvements to the Forum Boulevard is expected to begin in 2024. We've already been working to make our city buildings more energy efficient in support of the Climate Action and Adaptation Plan using the Energy Benchmarking Program. This compares our energy use to similar buildings in the nation and allows us to identify building performance improvements and opportunities. As technology advances, we'll have more opportunities to upgrade our buildings and improve sustainability on the road. The city is looking at a fleet electrification plan with the goal of one day having a complete electric fleet of city buses, and as the technology continues, to move that to other city vehicles. While we can only start small in some places, the City of Columbia wants to serve as an example to the entire community on steps that can be taken to help reduce greenhouse gas emissions right here in our own backyard. Our Parks and Recreation Department is also improving and expanding programs and facilities this year. This year, voters approved the park sales tax renewal for an additional 10 years, which will allow the department to provide critical upkeep to many parks, trails, and facilities our community enjoys. Park staff will begin the necessary renovations of the Arc and Rainbow Softball Center this year and complete renovations to three 50-year-old park shelters at Cosmo Park. While maintaining what we have is the department's priority for this upcoming fiscal year, one of the most popular facilities will be expanding. Phase two construction of the Columbia Sports Fieldhouse will add four additional hardwood courts for basketball, volleyball, and pickleball play. We've seen more residents utilizing our facilities like this. Spaces like the Arc and the Armory have seen numbers comparable to before the pandemic. The fourth priority area for the strategic plan is inclusive community. This group aims to cultivate a safe and sustainable community and ensure that there is equitable access and equal opportunity in the city. While there are small steps that we can take now to create a more inclusive community, in order for us to make real change, we'll need to look at all our policies and procedures through an equity lens. This is why the city has budgeted to create an Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. We need to lay the groundwork in order for this new office to succeed, such as fleshing out our existing strategic plan objectives into a more detailed diversity, equity, and inclusion strategic plan. We need our residents to know that the city is committed to creating a more equitable community. The city strategic plan also outlines goals to promote and sustain a diverse economy, allowing ours to become more resilient. The group hopes to increase the number of minority-owned businesses in our community, expand affordable housing, and increase access to external data for stakeholders to make data-driven decisions. Developing affordable housing in our community is one of my long-term goals. However, I know affordable means different things to different people. I also know that we cannot do this as a city alone. Relying on the expertise of community partners like the Columbia Housing Authority and the Columbia Home Builders Association will help us identify how we can create enough availability for families to find a foundation in Columbia and grow. The city is also currently working on several housing initiatives. Work to complete the Killamore Cottages affordable and energy efficient homes in Central Columbia will continue this year. The city also continues to offer homeowner assistance program, which make homeownership more affordable for low to moderate income households through down payment and closing cost assistance to qualified households. We also estimate that the housing market will continue to grow in the coming year with around 450 single-family homes and 200 dwelling units if economic conditions remain stable. The city's Economic Development Department is working to encourage employers to come to Columbia as our city grows. Swift Prepared Foods, which announced it will be coming to Columbia in April of 2021, will open the first quarter of 2023, bringing more than 250 new jobs to the community. Economic development is also working to support minority-owned businesses and provide resources, whether they are existing or new businesses. The city now has a full-time minority business coordinator who is dedicated to connecting these businesses to resources and partnerships that will help them thrive. In closing, I am enthusiastic about leading an organization that thrives on making an impact on the lives of the residents we serve. I am confident this city is in a position to take on the challenges that I've outlined, and today with a staff who's passionate about seeing change. While our work in the city of Columbia is never done, unique and exciting times lie ahead. There are so many big things on the horizon, and I know these projects will have a tremendous impact in our community, therefore making Columbia the best place for everyone to live, work, learn, and play. Thank you. I think we're going to take a few questions.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank
you. Chris with ABC 17 News. The most recent reporting I saw was about 20 officers were still needed to fill positions at Columbia Police. With the addition of what you're proposing, another 8, how do you propose that you and the chief find a way to recruit these officers, given the fact you're already paying well at roughly a minimum of $47,000 plus for these positions? Is it a pay increase? How are you going to get those officers here in order to, you know, fill those positions?
It's a number of things. It pays one thing. It's also looking at the culture in the organization. And Chief Jones has done a great job of recruiting new employees onto the police force. I want to say we have 12 in the academy right now? 10. So we have 10 officers in the academy right now. We're recruiting more to come onto the academy. So it's hard work. You know, if you look everywhere, people are struggling to find police officers. But I think if we can put forth a right culture that shows officers that they would be in a location where they're respected and that they can do their jobs well, we'll see people come onto the force.
Yes, Mr. Seawood, Brian Houseworth, 93.9 The Eagle. Two questions about what you talked about, a couple of issues. Number one, the salt dome, this new salt dome that's going to be in South Columbia. What went into that? I'm assuming people got feedback from the community on that. And number two, what are you looking for traits, characteristics in a new fire chief? Because that's been a very important position. What would you like to see ideally in the new chief? Thank you.
I'd like to see Randy continue as our chief. We need somebody who's a visionary, someone who can look forward and see exactly what our city needs in order to improve, someone who the officers can trust and their command staff can trust. Columbia has a great fire department, and I think with the right leadership, they will continue to move forward. As for the salt dome, that's something that we've been working on for a couple of years. I know there was there's always the community meetings where you talk to the community about this location. It's headed into an area that is up for development. So with the new homes that will be built, the salt dome will be in that area.
Mr. Seawood, this is Mark Slavitt with Channel 13 KRCG. My question for you is, we are experiencing some inflation problems throughout the country as well as here in Columbia. How, moving forward with the budget, how does inflation impact on your decisions?
Well, it impacts a lot. You know, that's one of the things that we have to look at. And we have to value what our revenues that are coming in versus how we think we're going to end up spending. So we're constantly looking at what those costs are. And luckily, you know, we have, you know, a great purchasing agent who understands exactly how the market is working. So as we're purchasing materials, you know, we set them aside for the future. But it's something that we're constantly monitoring and constantly looking at.
Hi, Mr. Seawood. My name is Emmett Jameson, and I'm from the Columbia, Missourian. I just wanted to ask if you could clarify the connection between the ARPA funds and the strategic plan that you were outlining. I just wanted to make sure that I understood that connection correctly.
Well, so the strategic plan is something that the city developed before ARPA was even discussed. No, it's our goals of how we're going to move the community forward. And so we have those priority areas that have been laid out. With ARPA, it gives us an opportunity to fund some projects that we probably would not have been able to fund if not for the funds that we've had from the federal government.
Okay, so those ARPA funds will augment the funds that the city already has on those priorities?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Just to follow up on the ARPA funds, sir, if you would. We've heard about these funds a lot for last year at least.
Yes, sir.
Is this the year we finally see those funds put to use and a decision made on what's going to happen with those funds?
I hope so. I mean, that is our goal. I mean, our goal is to work with our residents to find exactly what their needs are and actually start putting forth programs to support them.
Barbara Jefferson, a citizen of Columbia. So my question is about this Be Heard website you're talking about.
Yes, ma'am.
It is still a website. So how are you going to be heard from the people who has
no
skills?
Yes, ma'am.
For the website.
Yes, ma'am. And so the Be Heard website is not to augment our in-person meetings. Now, we still need to go out and engage our residents. We still need to go out and be in neighborhoods and talk to people. And so, like this summer, we have the opportunity to be at a lot of parks during festivals and during events to hear from residents about what their needs are, what their concerns are. We need to be, you know, be prepared to go into different locations and different neighborhoods and talk to people. Now, we have to be present. And so those are the things that we will be working on.
Thank you very much. And I really hope that you do manage to do that and make people aware that you're doing it.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I found that that's one of the big problems is, well, communication is the problem. Yes,
ma'am, it is.
My last thing has to do with, I've heard so much about sheltering the homeless, but I go farther by saying, well, what type of work will they be doing? Has anyone thought about once you get them shelter, they will need to have jobs?
And there's a lot of programs that we can look at that some cities have been successful in finding employment for the homeless population. But, you know, that's part of looking at this whole spectrum of exactly how to tackle the issue. And so hopefully as the Housing Authority and our partners are working together, we'll come back with a robust plan that talks exactly what we can do. More questions? All right. Thank you, guys.